Psalm 23, one of the most, if not the most, familiar chapter in the Bible. Six short verses, yet it contains a multitude of precious promises. We could spend a lifetime trying to comprehend them all, and many people have. A little girl was trying to quote the first verse, and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want." Not accurate, but what a blessed thought. The Lord is my shepherd. We really don't need anything else if He is. And if the Lord is our shepherd, we will not want. He will provide. He will provide all we need and far, far more. The New Testament supports the claims of Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It says in Matthew 6, 8, "For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." God knows what we need. Philippians 4, 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Therefore, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Tonight, that's my title and my subject, I shall not want. And you are blessed tonight. Usually I only have 1 point or 3 points. I have 10 tonight. 10 points. Things that we're going to go through the 23rd Psalm. And we're going to talk about things that will never... Sue, I'll be done just as quick as I am. You don't have to leave. I'm not going to keep you much longer than normal. But I want to remind you of 10 things that we'll never do without because the Lord is our shepherd. So here we go. Number one, we will never want for rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Our good shepherd will give us rest. Hebrews chapter 4, "That there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." Job, in the book named after him, tells us of a place where the wicked cease from their troubling and there the weary be at rest. In Matthew 11, 28, when Jesus said this verse, he said it, "Come unto me all ye that labor." The labor that he was talking about is not work and toil as we know it in this world. It's the labor that people do in order to try to get right with God. It's the work that people do to try to overcome that sin gap that exists between them and God. And it's a work, that work will never be completed. Because there's no amount of work that man can do to make themselves right with God. And so they labor, and they labor, and they labor. Those that are trying to work their way to heaven, those that are trying to work to get back in the good graces of God, they labor, and they labor, and they labor, and they never achieve rest. Because the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so Jesus said, all ye that are laboring to get right with God, all ye that are trying to work your way to heaven, all ye that are toiling and labor, and I can picture in my mind that person that's trying to work their way to God, how they work and how they work and how they work and how they work and how they labor and how they labor and how they labor, and they never achieve rest. Because that kind of rest doesn't come with labor. It comes exactly the way Jesus said. He said, "You come unto me." And again, he hadn't done it yet, but he was looking forward to the cross. He was looking forward to Calvary when he would take every sin of every sinner and take that sin and pay for it on Calvary. And then God, because Jesus, his son, did that, God is able to offer to every person the rest that they seek. You see, I believe that when God created man, and again, you say, "Well, I wasn't created, Pastor, I was born." Well, you wouldn't have been born if God didn't want you to be born. So in a sense, he created you. I mean, if God didn't want you here, you wouldn't be here. The fact that you're here tells me that God wanted you here. He made you. And when God made us, part of every person is a place that only a relationship with God can fill. People try to fill it up with things of the world. But the things of the world, as Solomon said, are all vanity and vexation of spirit. You won't find in the world anything that'll satisfy that part of you that was made for a relationship with God. And Jesus said, you come to me. You come to the cross. You come to Calvary. And I will give you that rest that you're seeking. You won't find it anywhere else. You got to come to the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for rest because he will give me that rest that I seek. Number two, we will not want for refreshment, for he leadeth me beside the still waters. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. I'm glad our good shepherd, I'm glad our great shepherd does not charge. If he did, none of us could afford the price that would be required to pay what he's done for us. I'm glad Jesus paid it all. In Revelation chapter 22, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that hath a thirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Jesus told the woman of the well, hey, you drink of the water of this well, you're going to thirst again. But you drink of the water that I will give you, and it'll be like a well springing up to everlasting life, and you will never thirst again. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell, and he gives us that refreshment that David talked about there. He leadeth me beside, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We only get that from the Holy Spirit of God. And it's available to every Christian. Every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit the moment they get saved. The moment you get saved, you get all of the Holy Spirit there is. The question is, how much of you does the Holy Spirit get? It's amazing to me that we as Christians have the availability of the Holy Spirit to fill every part of our being, and yet we hold certain places in our being back from him. We hold back. We limit the Holy Spirit in our lives. But we will not want for that refreshment if we submit to him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We shall not want for rest. We shall not want for refreshment. Number three, we won't want for forgiveness. He restoreth my soul. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David said, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. We studied David in Sunday school this morning. Psalm 51 that he wrote after his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah and the nation of Israel. Psalm 51 is a cry from a penitent heart to a forgiving Savior, to a forgiving God. And David begged for God to cleanse him. David begged for God to wash away his sins. David begged for God to blot out all his sins. And I'm glad that we have a God, I think as Sue testified in her testimony a moment ago, that we have a God that never takes a vacation. We have a God that never slumbers or sleep. We have a God that's open for business 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 366 days on leap year. I mean, Bronner's closes 3 or 4 days a year, but God never closes. He's always available, and we will never want for forgiveness because the Lord is our shepherd. Number four, we will never want for guidance, for he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. in all my ways of life, in all my roles of life, if I acknowledge that there is a God, God says, I'll direct your paths. I'll give you that guidance that you need in your life. Isaiah said, the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. God says in Psalm, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. Isaiah 42:16, I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. We don't have to walk this life on our own. We don't have to go down unknown paths. We don't have to go down dark paths. We have a God, if we will acknowledge him, that will direct us in every path of life that he wants us to walk. I don't know about you. I'd rather have somebody that knows where they're going than follow somebody that doesn't know where they're going. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where this path leads. I don't know where that path leads. But God does. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know what the next week is going to bring. I don't know what next year is going to bring. But God does. It is foolish for mankind to try to direct their own ways when we have a God, have a shepherd. I mean, that's what shepherds did for their. That's what shepherds do for their sheep. They guide them. They lead them. That's what our shepherd will do for us. He will guide us if we'll let him. Number five, we will not want for courage. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Psalm 48:14, for this God is our God, forever and ever he will be our guide, even unto death. Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Revelation 14:13, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. A mother prayed for her son, an older son, for years and years and years. He was a man that lived a life of sin, brought shame to the family name, but didn't matter to mom. She just kept praying and praying and praying. Man got saved, went to a mission, one of the big cities, and got saved at that mission. His dad had died years earlier, and so he called his mother up and said, Mom, I'd like you to come live with me. I'm a different person now. I've been saved. I've accepted Christ, and I don't want you to live by yourself. I want you to come live with me. And so she decided to do that. She moved to the big city and moved in with her son. And every Friday night, he took her to the mission where he got saved. She was part of the service. They gave the people in the congregation in the mission an opportunity to testify. And he said that his mother would always quote Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There came a time when she could no longer go to the mission because of her health, and her son knew that the time was short. One day, soon, the doctor came to him and said, hey, if there's anything you want to say to her, you better say it quickly. She can't last much longer. He went over to her bed where she was laying and said, Mother, do you know the condition that you're in? And his mom said, yes, son, I know I'll never get well. I know that my time on this earth is short. And the son said to his mother, Mother, I've heard you talk so often about Jesus being in the valley with you. How is it now? You're in that valley. How is it now? And mom said, Son, I've never felt his presence more in my life. Son said, Mom, hey, I'd like to put it to the test. I'm going to ask you from time to time, and if he's still with you, I want you to let me know by a word or a look. And when you start to cross that river, when you start to cross that river into glory, if Jesus is with you, I want you to squeeze my hand. I want you to squeeze my hand. A few moments and Later, he bent over and he asked his mother, "How is it now? How is it now?" She said, "Each moment grows sweeter." A few minutes later, he asked again, "Mother, is he still with you?" At this point, she couldn't speak, but she smiled, and he knew from her smile that Jesus was closer now than ever. The doctor came over and took her pulse, and her boy got on his knees beside her bed. His wife got on her knees on the other side of the bed, and they both took her hand. Moments passed. The doctor came over again and checked her, said, "She's gone. She's gone." When he did, the daughter-in-law, with tears streaming down her cheeks, said, "Husband, she's squeezing my hand. She's squeezing my hand." And he answered, "I know, she's squeezing mine too." Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And we as a people, you as an individual, probably have many friends. But there's only one friend that will go with us through the valley of the shadow of death. I will not, and you will not, lack for courage. Number six, we won't want for comfort, because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. John 14:16, the Bible, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." It was a sad day for the disciples when Jesus left. Yet, it was the greatest thing that could happen to this world. Had he not gone, the Comforter would not have come. He ascended, and he sent the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to comfort us, to lead us, to guide us. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter is come. Isaiah 66:13 says, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you." I don't know about you, but when I needed comforting, I did not go to my dad. When I needed comforting, I went to my mother. She was the one that could, you know, put methylate on a skinned knee and blow on it and make it be okay. She was the one that could kiss the tears away. She was the one that could encourage you when nobody else could. And we will not want for comfort. "For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We won't want for food. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to heaven. I know you had a group of people here yesterday that talked about what to eat and what to not eat and how to be healthy. I'm glad when we get to heaven, we won't have to worry about fat content. We won't have to worry about cholesterol. We won't have to worry about any of that stuff. That because our shepherd is going to prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. David wrote in Psalm 37:25, "I have been young and now am I old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Song says, "Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invited his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he thus feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time." We won't want for food because he prepares a table before us. We won't want for joy. Number eight. "Because thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." John 15:11, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." 1 Peter 1:8, "Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Not happiness, joy. Happiness can vary depending on circumstances, on happenings. Yet the joy of the Lord can be constant in our life. Because joy is not determined by circumstance, it's determined by relationship. Our joy is dependent on a relationship with Jesus Christ. The world may throw all it's got at us. It'll throw circumstances, it'll throw trials and troubles, and some in our congregation are going through some of that right now. But you know what? Even though the circumstances may turn against us, even though situations may turn against us, even though we may be in that position where we can't see the light of the tunnel, we will never want for joy because our relationship with Christ is secure. "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Number nine, I'm about to land. Number nine, we won't want for any good thing in this life, for surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Psalm 145, verse 9, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." Psalm 84:11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." It's not judgment and justice that follow us. That's what we deserve. Talked about it in Sunday school this morning. David knew that he deserved God's judgment. He didn't ask for his judgment in Psalm 51. He asked for God's mercy. So it's not judgment and justice that follows us, it's goodness and mercy. I've told you this story before. A lady came to her pastor and said, "Pastor, there's two men following me everywhere I go. I wish you would check it out and see who they are and see if they mean me harm." Well, the pastor checked it out and he couldn't find anybody that was following her. And yet, the lady really thought that there were. And so to comfort her, he brought her into his office and said, "Now look, ma'am, I've checked it out. You don't need to worry. Those two men that are following you are goodness and mercy. God's looking out for you. He'll protect you. You don't need to worry because goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And then number 10, we won't want for any good thing in the life to come. "For I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Somebody talked about it in their testimony. "In my Father's house are many mansions," Jesus said. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You know, we think we know a lot about heaven. And God tells us some things about heaven. But "eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." We don't know much about heaven. We know God's there. And we know Jesus is there. And I've often said that's what makes heaven heaven. You could forget about the gate of pearl and the golden street and the mansions and all that other stuff in heaven. As long as Jesus is there, that makes it heaven. But heaven is going to be far greater than we know. Jack, I appreciated that song. Made me think about heaven. And I think when we get to heaven, even though we're going to be there forever, and there's no time in heaven, so I can't say every day, but I think that we're going to discover good things about heaven for all eternity. I can remember when I moved away from home, and I'd come back and visit my parents. My dad would always keep a bag of Snickers in the freezer. And every time I would come, I would get into the freezer and I would get me a couple frozen Snickers. One time I came and I couldn't find them. I opened the freezer and I looked and I said, "Where's the Snickers?" Now, my mom told me that they were concerned about my cholesterol, and so Dad had quit buying Snickers. I knew that wasn't true. I knew my dad did not want me into his Snickers. He hid them. I took everything out of the freezer and wrapped up in paper that made it look like hamburger. There was the Snickers. I ate every single one of them. And I wrapped the paper back up and put it back in the freezer. A couple days later, I got a call from my father. "Daryl, did you get into my Snickers?" I said, "No, Dad, it must have been Brother Tim that got into those Snickers." When we get to heaven, we're not going to have to search for the good things that God has prepared for us. We will not want for any good thing for all eternity because of our good shepherd. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for reminding us that the kind of shepherd you are and what you will provide. So many things, and we've, again, just scratched the surface tonight. But thank you, thank you, thank you for the precious promises that are in these six short verses that we know as Psalm 23. Father, I pray tonight if there's even one here that doesn't have that good shepherd in their life because they've never received what that shepherd did for them on Calvary, I pray tonight you'd help them see their sin. I pray you'd help them see the wage or the penalty for that sin, being separated from you, not having you in their life, not having that part of them that was created for a relationship with God filled. Father, help them see that the world can't provide anything that'll fill that need in their life, but you can. You can through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. And so I pray you'd show them their sin, you'd show them the penalty for that sin, and you'd show them the Savior and what he did to pay for their sins. And tonight they would make that decision to receive Christ. Bless the invitation. Most of us here tonight are Christians. At this Thanksgiving time, help us to be grateful and thankful that you are our shepherd. And we shall not want. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.